Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. One of the great pleasures of working at ServiceNation is getting to see small companies grow. You get to see them increase their sales, their profitability. They provide more security to the owners and their coworkers. And frankly, they provide better service to their customers and their community. And in that process, you see the owners of the company grow as well. They increase their knowledge and skills. They develop into the leaders their companies need. They develop their people and they build their own management team. It's a really great thing to observe. Chandler Purnell is a great example of a man who is developing a small business and has a great future in front of him. His story of getting into the business, his family business transition, his vision for the future, personal and business growth is fascinating, and I think it's instructive as well. So please welcome Chandler Purnell. Chandler, thank you for being here with me today. I remember watching or reading your post years and years ago before I ever met you. And then I met you in person and you joined ServiceNation Alliance. So back us up a little bit. How did you get into our industry?
Yes, sir, David. Well, I appreciate you having me. It's an honor. My dad and uncle started this company in 1977, and I was born in 80. So I truly was born into it, which means you know, I ran as far away from it as I could, right? I went out the front door and I ended up at the back door. And so I guess what got me into the industry and what kept me into the industry can be two different things. I started out in high school, you know, installing, maybe even middle school, you know, eighth grade or so. I think back then you could still use power tools underage. So I'd be on the install crew, you know, tearing out sheet metal duct and replacing units. It was decent money, you know, in high school. Some of my friends didn't have jobs. Other them did at grocery stores and stuff. It was way more than minimum wage back then. And so I liked the money of it. And when I'd come home from college, I'd work for the summer and I'd have a decent amount of money. But it was never what I wanted to do. You know, my dad worked all the time and it was just hard. Running a business looked real hard. And I was really into music, rock and roll, and that's what I was always going to do. And so my other dream was stuntman and my other one was professional wrestler. And so the heat and air industry allows me to live out all three of those careers. I got rock and roll songs on the radio for the company. I get to do stunts. You know, I'm going on roofs and up in attics sometimes when they let me go with them. And it's definitely wrestling. You know, a lot of wrestling with myself, my conscience. When you're at the top, you can do whatever you want and people don't find out till later. And so I think joining ServiceNation was really my way of gaining a conscience. We didn't have a plan. There was no succession plan. There was no action. But then my dad got diagnosed with brain cancer in January of 2017. And I mean, he immediately had to stop working. And I was kind of running the business. You know, I was doing a lot of the manager or supervisor or anything. I'd never had to cover payroll, you know, and I've learned that's the difference between owning it and not owning it. You know, he would teach me, say, treat this business like it's yours. And I thought I did. And I know I've got people here that treat it, you know, as good as they can, it being theirs. But until it's 4 o'clock on a Thursday, and you know that if you don't get a deposit check on an install, you got to go to your wife and ask her to put $10,000 plus in the bank of personal money and promise that she's going to get that money back. You know, I think that's why people don't go into business. That's the fear. And it scared the heck out of me. And I never wanted to do it again. I never wanted to go to my wife and ask for payroll. You know, that seemed backwards to me. I thought a business made you money, right? Not you gave the business money. And that's where the fear set in. And that was before I even owned the business. I was not a stockholder. I was a nothing. I was a check signer. That was it. And my dad lived for 3 years. He passed away in December of 2019 of brain cancer. And he taught me a lot, man. I've got a handful of mentors, I would say, directly in this industry. He's my number one. You know, he taught me so much about heat and air, about sales, about life. And just like any other son, I didn't listen to him. You know, I didn't listen to much he had to say. And those last 3 years we had together, I soaked it all up. You know, I spent as much time with him as I could. Business was the total opposite of what I thought I wanted to do. I went to college at the beach and basically you either went there to become a teacher, get a business degree, or marine biology. And I didn't want to do any of them. And so it was time to pick a major. I said, well, I don't even like business. In fact, I hate business. You know, I was getting real into myself and nature and just everything a 20-year-old goes through. And I started hating air. I started thinking about, you know, all the fiberglass insulation and the sheet metal that gets wasted and just seeing all this copper and refrigerant. And it disgusted me. And it took a couple of years, but I realized instead of just complain about it or hate it, how about I get into it and I try to have an effect on it and make a difference? And so I came to work here full time in 2003. I was 22. My dad wouldn't hire me, David. He said no. he knew me better than me. I'd been traveling around, just kind of hoboing it, having the American experience. And I ended up back in Smithfield. And so I said, man, I need money. So I went to Purnell, wanted a job. My dad said, no, sir. He said, get a full-time job for 6 months and then come fill out an application. And you know what?
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I was so mad. I felt thrown out of the family, right? It was entitlement in what it was. I thought I could just come in here and make money. And as I got more into the business later on in life, I realized, you know, we have a lot of fun here. Well, you got to have a sense of humor, but this ain't a place to let people come and play around. I mean, we're serious. You know, we're dealing with people's health and their comfort and their bank account. And I look back now and realize that he knew exactly I was going to come work a week or two, get a paycheck and roll out. And he knew that. So I got a job at Subway Restaurant, and you should get a job there to learn about customer service. I mean, whenever you're making a sandwich for people and you got two sharp knives and you're about a foot and a half from them, people are picky, you know, and it taught me so much about customer service. But
so you're saying you never actually stabbed anyone then, is that
no,
right?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I might have cut their lettuce a couple extra times. But yeah, and this girl walked in from, I knew from high school, and she'd come home from college and had a good job. And man, I felt like a loser. Here I am at Subway. I got mayonnaise on my shirt, you know, and I'm like, man, what am I doing in life? You know, I was 22. I hadn't met my wife yet. So it hadn't been 6 months, but I went back to my dad. I said, look, man, I'm serious. I want to work. I'm here. And so he hired me, and I gave my 2 weeks notice at Subway, and I was bartending a little bit at night, but I was able to quit both of those. And I did install again for about a year. And then we started getting serious about business. He said I had to go to college and finish my degree to take over the business. So I ended up getting a business degree from the local community college. It's literally 4 blocks from the shop. And I was the secretary for a whole year. I scheduled all the calls. I did all the invoicing, all the payroll, everything. I met my wife in 2006, and it didn't take me long to realize that was the girl I wanted to marry for life. And so I got serious about life. And so I started thinking about the commitment and what would that mean, you know, for me to take over Purnell, because I'd never really thought about it or wanted to do it. And my dad never pressured me. You know, he never made me feel bad or obligated. But around that time, I made a decision that I was going to stay here, and I got my state licenses, and you know, I hired a salesman and started training him. And so that's kind of how my seriousness in this business developed.
So tell me about the company now. If you flash forward, tell me about how you guys are structured now, how big you are, what's happened.
We're still pretty small in terms of revenue. We did a little over $1.6 million last year, and that's only heating and air. We only do heating and air, and that's mostly residential replacements and service. We did about $250,000 in commercial service and replacement, but zero new construction.
So what makes you guys a great place to work?
Respect. I think just respect is number one. We treat each other like people. You know, we try not to stick to titles or who's better. I mean, we're all in this together. You know, and I think that I let my head installer can run circles around me and install. And so if we have an install problem, he's usually going to be the one with the answer, right? I don't try to tell him what to do. I know what I want. I know what kind of result I want in my customer's reaction, but he knows the solution. And same thing with the service techs. Same thing with the office. My service manager, if I'm here and the phone rings over 3 times, I'll answer it. But I'm not scheduling anybody. I'm not telling anybody that we can get there today or tomorrow, because he does that. And I'm not going to mess up his flow. I let people do their job and I try to let them have enough respect that if they need me, they'll come to me. I've had secretaries and people leave over the years that they leave and you find all this stuff squirreled in their desk drawers that just they didn't take care of. And it doesn't matter if that's that person or a lack of process or manager or whatever, it happened. And so I don't want anybody to feel like they have to hide anything. If they make a mistake, that's okay. I got one guy at work. He's worked here 11 years. We're the 10th company he was worked for. And he told me one day, he said, Chandler, you know why I like working here? I said, why? He said, because you don't cuss me out every day.
And that's a pretty low bar, isn't it?
Man, that was profound. But when you look at all the workplaces, heat and air or otherwise, there's not a lot of good places to work. You know, I've never really had managers or bosses that made me feel good or that, you know, I felt like we're adding value to my life. And so I guess I always wanted to be the boss that I never had.
Yeah, good for you. So a few years ago, you joined Service Nation Alliance. You know, the reason I wanted to talk to you is you describe yourself very modestly, but I got to tell you, people have a great deal of respect for you in our organization, and they are talking about how they predict that you're going to be a really large, significant company in the future. So don't sell yourself short. But anyway, you've joined Service Nation Alliance. What has that done for you?
Oh, man. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So we joined Service Roundtable probably, I don't know, man, 2007 or 8.
And yeah, that was a long time.
I had never even been to a trade show before in my life. My dad came back from Nashville or somewhere and he's like, there's this website. I don't even know if he'd ever even been on a website. And he said, there's this website I signed up for. If nobody knows the answer to a question, you can just put this question up there and people will answer it. I was like, that's great. So we'd come up with a question. And then, I mean, he was getting so much value of it because he was real strong in organization. Back in the 80s and 90s, North Carolina had a very strong association. He was president a couple of times. And I mean, he relied on his buddies in the contracting business. And so I think when Service Roundtable came around, he saw it as kind of the new generation networking. And wow, you know, here we are 15 to 20 years later, and it certainly is, because you can just pop a question up there and you get answers. And you get answers from real people. I mean, you're getting answers from, gosh, man, you know, Larry Taylor, John LaPlante, Chris Hunter. I mean, like guys that really know the answer. And so I joined Service Nation. I was talking to my wife about this because I wanted to make sure I got the timeline right. Y'all did a success day at Myrtle Beach. Yep. And I lived at Myrtle Beach for a year and I love it. And it's only about 3 hours from here. So this was before I owned the company. So my dad got brain cancer in January of 2017 and we went to success day in March of 2017. And the only reason I went, Charlie Greer was there, right? He was one of the speakers. And Tyler Kine out of Alabama was the contractor speaker. And I never met Tyler till then. And he started talking about he was a family business and the generational issues. I was like, man, if nothing else, I can call this guy, you know? And Charlie, I really only signed up for one reason, David. Charlie is a salesman, and I really just wanted him to do the paper towel close on me. and I figured that was my only chance. Here we are in Myrtle Beach. I'm sitting at the kitchen table with Charlie Greer, and he's doing the paper towel clothes on me. So it was a lot of money. So I talked to my wife. You know, I was like, well, I need to go back to the hotel room. And we talked, and we said, you know what, let's do it. And I was a little worried about life because my uncle was retired. My dad was going through treatment, and I needed accountability. That's all I need. I needed people that could look at me and say, no, that's stupid. Or why are you going to do that? And I needed challenging people. I didn't just need people that would say, yeah, that looks great, or cheer me on. I needed the hard truth, because that's what my dad and uncle always gave me. They always gave me the hard truth, and I had lost that. And so my first group was with Edgar out of Pennsylvania. And there were a few
Edgar
people.
Warner. Yeah.
Yeah. Edgar Warner. And we still keep in touch. And there were a few people in there from the South, so I kind of felt at home. And it was amazing. You know, the dashboard especially. I think the dashboard really caught my attention because I had had to go to my wife and let her know that I didn't have any money. We were $300,000 in debt on the balance sheet with no assets to mirror it. You know what they call a balance sheet that doesn't balance?
A problem.
It's just a sheet. Just a sheet. So I had this sheet that I had no idea what it was telling me other than a big red negative. And there were two manufacturers that we owed $50,000 to each. And if my salesman sold a unit, you know, I'd call that vendor up and I'd say, hey, I need a $3,000 unit. If you can get it today, you know, I can pay you $4,000 on Friday. And they do it. And then my salesman would say, I sold another one. I say, what brand is this? And it was the other brand. I'm like, oh God, now I got to call them. And it's a nightmare, dude. Being in debt is, and I've since learned the difference between there's good debt and bad debt. But when you owe people money and you ain't got the money, that's bad debt. And
yes, it is.
It is probably the worst point. A customer had ordered a unit. They'd given us a deposit and they changed their mind. And we offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed no matter what. You want a refund, that's fine. We hadn't even installed a unit yet. They wanted their money back. I didn't have the money. David, I'd already spent the money and they were older people. It really made me feel like shit. That was the point where I said, I'm not going to go on like this. If I've got to lie to a man about his money simply because I don't have it, I need to get out of the game because I can't even play it. And my wife and I started having a cash flow report meeting twice a week. I didn't even know what a cash flow report was, but I had a copy and I knew four things. You got the money you start with. You got the money that's got to go out. You got the money that came in. Then you got the difference. Mm-hmm. And so our beginning cash flow report started at, okay, we got $800 in the bank. What's our bills for this week? Well, our bills are $24,000. So that became our sales goal. Okay, our sales goal for this week is $24,000. I didn't care about gross margin. I didn't care about profit. I cared about paying those bills.
Mm-hmm.
And we overcame $300,000 in debt in, I think, less than 3 years. And we're debt free now. I got an excellent credit score. I've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of credit with vendors. I've got bank credit. I got credit cards. Money about took me out. And money is what takes you out, unless it's the law. So I started really deciding that I need to learn about money because we all depend on money, but they don't teach us much about it. And so I just started learning about money. The cash flow report was the beginning of it. And I've printed out my dashboard. And my ending cash has become my favorite column because it shows where I'm at. Not what we did today, not what we did last year. What have we done? Where are we at? And I cut it out and I keep it beside my desk on the wall. I look at it every day because my dad always told me you go broke when you're busy, not when you're slow. You know, when you're busy, you're spending all this money. You're not billing as fast. You're not worrying about the money in. And sure enough, June of 2019, we had $7,500 ending cash. And I printed out December 2020, we had over $300,000 in the bank.
Nice.
Yeah, with half of January's overhead already paid.
Yeah, cash in the bank is one of those things that allows you to sleep well at night, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, cash is not my goal, but cash money dollars is the symbol that helps reflect, am I reaching my goal? And that's what really stuck me to this business. If somebody can hand me a check for $8,000 with a smile and they're telling me thank you, that's the kind of job I decided I wanted to have. And this job allows that. We're doing great things for people and they're paying us for it. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
So you've talked about your wife and reports that you review with her. Is she in the business also?
Yeah, she's the bookkeeper and the accountant. We've got software that invoices customers and our technicians collect the payment, but she does all the accounting in regards to paying the bills, entering payroll, cutting checks, paying off credit cards, and she's doing it all from home.
What's coming up next for you? What are you looking forward to in the business? What's the next big thing for you?
On the same theme as people, I'm blazing the trail to bring young people into this industry.
Yeah.
I want people to be able to make a good living. And I've got friends that have got two or three college degrees and maybe they're waiting tables or they got a decent job, but not really what their degrees. We're going to get them. We got to change the tagline David, people say college isn't for everybody. That's not appealing, you know? Yeah. That's like a hot girl walks by and I say, well, David, that girl's not for everybody, you know? you know how you're going to take that. And so I almost see it like, I'm thinking about signing my kids up for the trades. Well, you know, think about it real hard, because the trades is not for everybody. You know, we don't just want everybody that's decided they don't want to go to college. This is a hard job, and you've got to have dedication. You got to have guts. You got to have a sense of humor more than anything, right? This business will shatter your spirit if you don't take it with a grain of salt sometimes. The earlier podcast I was listening to, I started out with Mitch Kropp, because he was the first guy I ever heard speak at a trade show. He said, love what you do. And there's four common themes I heard between everybody I listened to. Love what you do. Be the best at it. Do the things other people won't do. And you kept hearing people. It's people. It's people. And so I wouldn't even be able to do this podcast if it wasn't for my people. It's 4 o'clock and it's 40 degrees outside and we're busy. And so if I didn't have great people to answer the phones, get the parts, go on the service calls, make sure the trucks are running, pay the light bill, I wouldn't even be doing this interview or anything. You know, I wouldn't be able to do anything. But I do know that I want to bring an in-house training program inside my building. We've been clearing out about 4,000 square feet in the building here to dedicate to a training facility. I've got 4 technicians. 2 of them are 49 years old and 2 of them are 39. So, you know, they're starting to think about how much longer are they going to be running service calls. And I don't want to just throw these guys out in the wash and make them go work for a billboard company or something, you know. I want a place for them. And so I think where recruiting new people comes into play and becomes attractive is, what can I do with these guys that have got the skills and the ability and the experience to grow this next generation of people that I'm going to need? Because from what I see, we're going to need a whole lot of people, right?
Yep. If you're going to grow, you got to have the right people. Well, Chandler Purnell, this has been great. I really appreciate you spending this time with us. It's exciting to hear where you're going and the experiences you've had. And I think we've all got a good understanding of why it is you're going to be a wild success in the future. So thanks for spending this time with us. I really appreciate it.
Hope sir. Well, thank you, David. I've enjoyed it. I appreciate it. Maybe this is just the beginning.
Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.